If I have a text that I want you to remember this morning, some of you have heard me say this. That was the first text I ever received when I began preaching. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Over the years, I've proved that many, many times that He has never left me nor forsaken me. There have been many times when I have gotten away from Him, but He has never left me. And I don't believe that He ever will. The great psalmist in his writings in the famous 23rd Psalm said, "Yea, so I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." So even in death, He is going to be with us, will not forsake us. And I think that each one of us as a child of God should be able to remember that. I'd like to, for a few minutes this morning, share some scriptures. I have a number of them that I'd like to cover. I may not get them all covered. I apologize to you almost every week for being longer, and every week I get a little longer instead of a little shorter. So I guess probably one of the things you're going to have to do, if you're having some light problems before, maybe just have to shut the lights off, and maybe I'll get the hint that that's time for me to quit. But anyway, the text comes from the book of Hebrews, 13th chapter in the 5th verse, and part of that verse says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The children of Israel received a promise from the Lord back in the early history of their being able to journey from the land of Egypt into the promised land. And the Lord had told them that He would go before them, that He would fight their battles, that He would guide them, and that He would deliver them when they reached the promised land. He said, "When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even the days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto His voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee." Now, I want you to keep this in mind, that as I use the scriptures this morning, what I'm wanting you to understand is that the Lord understands what forsaken means, and has assured us all down through the ages as to what that He's going to do. And He said to the children of Israel after that, Moses had died and Joshua was getting ready to take over, they were in a uproar as to what was going to happen to them. They were concerned about who was going to take over the leadership. And so the Lord said, "Be thou strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." The Lord said to these people, "Listen, you fear me, you go ahead and you go, and I will go before you, and I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you." That's a promise that He made to them. He never failed on that promise. He kept it all the time. He continues to keep that down to the present time. There are some reasons that the Lord made that promise, and I think that it's important that we be able to understand some of the reasoning behind Him making that promise unto us. First of all, I do want you to understand, He understood being forsaken. In the book of Matthew, in the 26th chapter, now I don't want to read that yet. I'm going to hold that just a minute. I've got so many notes here. We want to be sure that we understand that He relates to us. and that he knows sometimes how we feel. And there are times whenever that I have no doubt in my mind that you feel like that everyone has forsaken you, that you're all alone. I remember the old prophet, whenever that he had run from Jezebel, when she said, you know, that she would get his life, and he ran out and he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, just go ahead and take my life. I'm the only one that's left. I'm the only one that's saying true to you. And the Lord said, you know what? You aren't the only one. I still have some work for you to do. And you know, just so you know, Elijah, I've got several thousand who've never even as much as bowed the knee to the idol of Baal. So you aren't alone. Whenever the children of the three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace, and the king looked in, he said, you know, they're not alone in there. There's someone else in there with them. They have not been forsaken, because I see a fourth person in there likened to the Son of God. He had not forsaken those people. Daniel in the lion's den was not forsaken of the Lord. There are many, many instances. Stephen, whenever he was stoned to death, I didn't get over in the New Testament. So some of you say, well, you're all in the Old Testament. Let's get some new. Stephen, whenever that he was being stoned to death, said, when he looked up and he saw the heavens were open, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God, and he was not forsaken. The Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that is the only time where we find where the Lord Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father. He usually is sitting on the throne, but he stood up when he looked down and saw Stephen being martyred. Jesus, while he was here upon the earth and had gathered together his disciples, on one occasion, the Bible says that He was speaking unto them, and as he began to speak to them and to the other disciples who were gathered there, some of the things that he was saying was very difficult for them to accept. And so he saw them one by one going away. And he said to his disciples, he said, when he got down to them and there were the only ones left, he said, will you also go away? Are you going to go too? Now, it's important again that you understand that he experienced what it was to have people forsake him. And that's why he says to you and I today, I will not leave you nor forsake you, because he knew what that hurt was. There's probably not a single one of you here this morning who've not felt like at some point in time in your life that there have been friends that you thought were friends who have forsaken you. They have failed you. They've disappointed you. They've let you down. And that hurts. We're only kidding ourselves. I get so disgusted sometimes at these people who are always out here in La La Land, and they're usually people who are crying about how good a Christian they are. And I think, you know, you aren't in the real world. You don't even know what's going on. And I get disgusted with that, because most of us have feelings that from time to time we experience not only love, and we do that because we're God's children. We experience happiness. We experience joy. But there are also some times whenever we experience frustration, that we experience anger, we experience disappointment, we experience hurt. But God understands every one of those. He understands our emotions, because he also recognizes that as he sent his Son here into the world, and as he lived, that he experienced many of these same things. Six. In the book of Matthew, the scripture says that Jesus spoke on one occasion to his disciples, and he said, all of you are going to be offended because of me this night, and you will forsake me. All of you. You remember Peter said, oh, the rest of them may, but not me. The rest of them, they may be upset. They may be offended, but not me. I'm ready to die for you, Lord. And y'all may remember who one of the first ones was to cut out. He did think at one point in time he was ready to die for the Lord. He pulled out his sword and he was ready to fight. But he forsook the Lord. They all did. All of the disciples did. And he was left alone. You think for a second that Jesus didn't have emotions and he didn't have feelings and that he didn't understand what it was to be forsaken? You think today that whenever that we forsake him, whenever that we decide there are more important things for us to be doing than serving the Lord, that that isn't disappointing to him? It amazes me how fickle we are as his children. It doesn't take much of anything for us to decide there are things more important than the Lord. Now, there's probably not a single one of you here this morning, if I just put you right on the spot and said, do you really think there's anything any more important than the Lord? Not one of you wouldn't be able to say, no, I don't believe there is anything else. And yet every day of our lives, and many times more people than you would care to think about, think there are more important things by the way they live, by the way they act, and the things that they do, that there are more important things than the Lord. It's easy for us to talk about what we do for the Lord. It's a lot different story in what we really do for him. In the 14th chapter of the book of Mark, it says, and they all forsook him and fled. Yeah, they were afraid as to what was going to happen. Jesus had already spoken to them, and he said, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this. This is Jesus when he was speaking to them. He'd been praying to the Father. He'd prayed for his disciples. He knew what was going to happen. And he knew what these men were going to do, just like he knows what we're going to do today. I do not know what a single one of you are going to do for the rest of this day, but you've got in mind what you're going to do. You at least had in mind this morning to say, well, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go and worship the Lord. And I appreciate that. There were many people this morning who should have had that thought, who said, well, there's more important things for me to do. There are some people who just simply could not do anything different and who would love, be tickled to death to be able to trade places with you or to be able to be here themselves, who cannot be. But there are many more who chose this morning not to go, not only here, to any house of the Lord, because they had more important things to do. One of my old fishing buddies in California used to say to me, Parson, you got to get your priorities straight. Because every once in a while he'd be missing on Sunday morning, and he'd be back in church on Sunday night. I knew where he'd been on Sunday morning. He'd been up to the lake. He'd been fishing. I'd say, Floyd, how's fishing today? He said, Parson, you got to get your priorities straight. I said, you got to get yours straight, buddy. Let me tell you something. People prioritize everything. Every single one of us do. Oh, there are going to be times when we've got too many other things that we need to do. There are other places that we want to be. There are other people we want to be with. No. The Lord knows. He knows those things. He knows where we put him in our lives. We can kid each other all we want to and fool each other all the time, but we don't kid him. He already knows. He knows our hearts. Joyce was talking earlier about praying. It's not how long you pray. It's not what words you say. It's what's in your heart and what's coming from your heart. That's what God hears. That's what God sees. Yeah. I tell people every once in a while, it's not that long prayer that's effective. It's not that loud praying that's effective. It may be effective, and sometimes that's necessary. Sometimes, you know, I guess we're probably like old Elijah was. We say, you better wake him up. Maybe he's asleep. But the Bible teaches that the Lord neither sleepeth nor slumbereth, that his eye is always open to us. It's what's in our heart. Jesus, as he says to the disciples, all of you are going to be offended because of me. All of you are going to forsake me. But now listen to what he says here. He says, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Yeah, Jesus said, I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. You ever have those times in your heart and your life and in your experiences where that it's just you and the Lord? And you know, you feel His presence. Yeah, you know what it is to have Him. And you know you're not alone. You're not alone. There may be no one else around you. And at other times, you can have all kinds of people around you, and you still have His presence. But Jesus said to these people, He said, I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. Now I want you to listen very carefully, because there's something that happens, and I want to read to you from the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? You ever thought about that? You wonder why He promised us He would never forsake us? I'm going to tell you why I believe that He promised us that. Because He knew what it was like to be forsaken. Not of me, not of you, not of those disciples, not of all of those followers, but by His own Father. As He hangs there between heaven and earth, and the mob of people have backed off a little bit, they're still there, they're still watching, they want to see what's going to take place, all of a sudden darkness begins to come over the earth. I believe with everything there is about me this morning that God had a purpose in bringing that darkness upon the earth. And that was to veil the fact that He was going to be separated from His Son. And that it was not something that man needed to see. It was not something that He wanted others to see. But it was necessary because His Son was going to take upon Himself my sin and your sin. And God, according to His Word, cannot look upon sin. Some are going to say, oh, I believe whenever He hang there and He said, that why hast thou forsaken me? That it was just to fulfill the Scripture. Let me tell you something, it was to fulfill Scripture, but it was to do something more than that. It was to become the substitute for me and for you and for our sin. And He took upon Himself our sin, and He died in our sin. As He hang there between heaven and earth, His Father gave Him no recognition whatsoever as being His Son. You may remember that there had been other times whenever that God had spoken from out of heaven. Whenever Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John, the Bible says after He was baptized, a voice was heard from heaven saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Whenever that the transfiguration took place and James, Peter, and John were there and saw this great scene, a voice was heard from out of heaven, "This is my Son." God the Father recognizing and identifying His Son. But as He hangs here upon the cross, He hangs here as a cursed individual. He hangs there dying for the sins of mankind. He is not given any credit for being the Son of God. And even God Himself does not identify Him at that point in time. to be able to die in our stead and to die as a sinner, though he was not a sinner. It was necessary for him to experience all of these things. He experienced the feelings and the emotions that every single one of us have ever experienced in our lives. And then more so, as he hangs here and he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You think for a second he didn't know? Certainly he knew. Over in the book of Hebrews, and I want to, somewhere I've got that written down, I want to read to you. What is this? Because there are some people who say, oh, you know, he didn't want to go there. Whenever he was out there in the Garden of Gethsemane and he had prayed to the Father and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There are people who said, see, he didn't want to go there and die. No. You got it wrong. You're wrong as can be. Do you think for one second he didn't listen to what it says in the word of the Lord? If I can find it here. Hebrews 12, 2. See, I knew it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the joy that was set for him before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I knew I had it somewhere there. So it's, you know, he was despising the shame, but enduring this. But as he hung there, he cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? Whenever he was there in the garden and praying, I don't believe that he was wanting to not have to go to the cross. That's what he came for. He knew that before the foundation of the earth, he and the Father had already agreed. There's going to have to come a time whenever that I'm going to go there to the earth. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to be the substitute for the sins of mankind. And I'm going to do that. I do that willingly. I do that because I love them. And so he came and he willingly went there to the cross. So when he prayed and said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. You know what I believe he was saying? Don't let us be separated. There is no other place in the word of the Lord that you're going to ever find where God the Father and God the Son are separated. No place. Except in here. And Jesus cried out and said, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? You wonder then why that he made the promise so that you and I would not have to experience that feeling of being separated, forsaken. He knew what that was. He hurt people. We just like to say, oh, what a beautiful scene. You know, there's, again, I cannot overemphasize to you, that was not a beautiful scene. That was an ugly scene. I believe that's why God darkened it for 3 hours so that people could not continue to stand there. And especially whenever that God was going to have to turn his back upon his Son, who took upon himself our sin and became sin in our stead. Not a sinner, never committed any sin. I want to be sure that you don't go out of here thinking that. Why hast thou forsaken me? No. Oh, listen. What a tragic, tragic thing to think that he wouldn't understand. What little bit you and I experienced down here, he understood much more than that. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there are people said, oh, you know, he's delirious. He's delirious. Let's go get him. Let's go get him a drink here. He was not delirious. He was separated from his Father because he loved you and he loved me.